Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Hey everyone, Your Money Matters just around the corner. We'll be chatting with Kristen Myers, the editor-in-chief of The Balance, about some back-to-school costs and also about retirement and what do you do if you see that money draining away like it has been or you're making your RMDs for the first time. She's got some advice for you, including we'll figure out what is cheaper in 2022. Yes! Something is down 20%, and it's not like a little thing. I'm just pulling out of thin air. It's a big thing, down 20%. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some other things as well in terms of how many people of Generation Z are living at home, and they're not planning on leaving. Ooh, that's a good tease. We'll get to all that after this on Your Money Matters. We got a great show, a packed show for you, but I did make some time to carve out the question of the day. I got a few texts yesterday because it was a rollover from last week of people that had done some research and they wanted to call in and I just didn't give anyone the opportunity to do so. We will have some time later on today in the show to get to that. But I do want to ask the gang here what they think. Here's a little quiz for y'all. Obviously, prices have gone up on just about everything. Girls and boys' clothes have gone up as well. Do you guys have a guess for which has gone up more, girls' clothes or boys' clothes? Let's start with Kevin Powell, who is the expert
let's
on
go.
This subject.
Absolutely. Fashion is number one for me.
Yeah.
Let's go girls' clothes.
Kevin says girls' clothes. Lauren Lapka, where are you going with?
I would agree, because I feel like just about everything girls is a little more expensive. You know, like bikinis, bathing suits.
Right.
Like why are those so expensive?
Part of the pink tax,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
that we've talked about on this show. Mary Vandeville, any guesses?
Yeah, I would guess girls, too, because girls do more shopping.
Girls' clothes have gone up 2%. Boys' clothes have gone up over three times that much.
Whoa.
7% for boys' clothes. And now, on average, boys' clothes over the year cost a dollar more than girls' clothes over the year. That doesn't seem right to me, but
any idea why?
I don't. Kristen Myers will. Great transition to my tease,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lauren Lapka. You are a professional broadcaster. She will have answers for us, we hope, in just a little bit. And do you guys have any idea what's a big item that's down 20% this year, 2022? Something that's cheaper this year? You can't find many things that are.
Give us a clue, John.
Yes,
give us a hint.
Is it like energy related?
Nope, you use it every day, many times a day. 15 to 20 times a day, perhaps, depending on...
15 to 20?
You use it a lot.
Toilet paper?
Water.
15 to 20.
Whoa, we have a side conversation.
Water.
Yeah, I guess that is a lot.
All right, well, I'm going to leave that one linger a little bit. Let's see if people can guess that one. 312-981-7200 is our phone line. We'll get to that answer and talk about the other back-to-school costs that are going up and down. And I was just reading in Crane Chicago Business about two Loop office buildings facing loan trouble, and this could be a predictor of more to come. I mean, as you can imagine, offices continue to be not fully packed. And while I guys got you in this conversation, do you know anybody besides maybe us or people in our line of work that are back in the office 5 days a week? Every single person I know is hybrid at best. And I know people that go in maybe once a month at most.
I don't know anybody who does the traditional 5 days a week.
Me neither.
No.
Like, obviously, and we're obviously excluding nurses, paramedics, people that are essential.
Right.
And we thank them for all that they do and have done.
I guess construction, friends in construction, that's a little different. I guess you're looking more for an office situation.
Yes.
Yeah, anybody with a traditional office setting, I don't know anyone doing the full 40-hour work week.
I don't either. I don't know a single person. So I just don't know if this is the precipice of more problems, if these buildings are going to be able to figure it out. But we'll chat later on this week with the reporter who covers real estate in the downtown area about what the plan is. Because I know a lot of places continue to buy these leases, but how long will that go on for? You can imagine a business renewing once or twice and then saying, look, this has not changed for us. I don't know. Is it changing? It certainly hasn't changed as quick as people thought. All right, 312-981-7200. If you got any questions, thoughts on any of the matters. Hey, I was asking you what went down in cost in 2022. Katie's got a guess. Hey, Katie, how you doing?
Cost of your cell phone plan. Or cost of use of your cell phone without the equipment.
Okay, well, hang on right there. Let's find out if you got the right answer. Kristen Myers from The Balance joins us now. Kristen, is that what went down in 2022?
It is actually one of the things that went down. That is
hey.
The cell phone plan.
Yeah, the plan only goes down at, what, like a percent? But smartphones in general, the costs are way down.
20% down for the smartphone. But yes, you are correct. 1% for the smartphone plan, 20% for the smartphone itself. But those are actually the only two things that we looked at that went down. So I guess go run out and get a cell phone
Do we know why that was? Were there not big model drops that rushed people out? Are people changing their habits? Because, you know, with all the chip shortages, I thought maybe cell phones would go up just like the cars did. I mean, I also don't know what I'm talking about, but do we have any idea why?
That's a really good question. At first, when I saw that stat, I also was scratching my head and a little bit puzzled. But we've been seeing the chip shortage actually before last year. So the chip shortage actually existed in 2020. In fact, even prior to the pandemic starting, we were talking about how there wasn't enough chips out there and that some companies were struggling. So I think what happened was that during the pandemic, people just essentially stopped, you know, doing some discretionary spending with inflation up and with, you know, people still struggling through the pandemic. And so they've really, especially this year, a lot of these manufacturers and a lot of these stores have had to drop and give serious markdowns on certain items. And those smartphones, I think, are one of them. Walmart, for example, just came out and said, hey, we've got too much inventory. We're going to have to start giving extreme markdowns for TVs, for example.
Right.
So I think electronics and with those smartphones being included just really got swept up into some of those things that you could go out and get a deal for.
Right.
Also, keep in mind, those smartphones are dropping new ones, so
yeah,
they probably wanted to get the old ones off the shelf.
That makes sense. Hey, as we're talking about back-to-school stuff, we got, I teased the boys' clothes versus girls' clothes, and our entire team, we thought girls' clothes would have gone more up year over year instead of boys' clothes, and it turns out boys' clothes have gone up more, and in fact, boys' clothes over a year now cost a dollar more than girls' clothes, which I think bucks the trend from before. Why is that? We got to know.
This is such a big question for everyone. So typically what we are seeing, right, is that girls' clothes tend to actually be more expensive than boys' clothes. And so we've been seeing larger price increases, I think, again, and there's no definitive answer, but we actually went back and looked at some of the sales and some of the CPI data. And what we were seeing was that girls' clothes actually was rebounding faster than the boys' clothes. So what it meant was that people were actually going back out and buying clothes for women and for girls. They weren't really doing the same for boys. And I think there's probably a lot of listeners that say, yep, that makes a lot of sense. We did the same in our house. The girls wanted to go get clothes and the boys didn't. And so I think that we've been just seeing the price rebound faster for the girls' clothes. So this year over year, this latest increase, it just wasn't as much as we have been seeing with boys' clothes.
I see. Okay. As we take a look at what costs more as we get ready for the school year, which, boy, you know, I hate that. My birthday is tomorrow, which I'm only just saying because I always knew that was like 1 month until school starts again, and I can't believe we're already here. But when we talk about back-to-school price hikes, a lot of it might be simply in what you're packing for their lunch every day.
Well, first of all, happy birthday.
Thanks. Now everyone's going to think that was a humble brag to let people know.
Happy birthday.
It's not till tomorrow. I was just like, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's always signaled the start to the end of summer. Anyways, keep going, Kristen.
Yeah, this year everyone should just get you a gas card, something you can really use as these prices are going up. But you're absolutely correct. So when it comes to this back-to-school shopping, honestly, if it's not the smartphone, if it's not the cell phone plan, everything else has gone up. And the number one thing, John, that actually went up since last year was lunch meat.
Yeah.
It's gone up nearly 20%. So it's gone up 18% since last year. So just feeding your kids, I'm told you have to feed children. I don't have any, but I have it on good authority. They do require lunch. It's going to be incredibly expensive.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially if you're doing it day after day. I see that sports equipment, musical instruments, I mean, all these other ancillary things too have really seen spikes.
Yeah. If your children have any hobbies, I do feel for you. Sporting equipment is up 8% since last year. Musical instruments up 6% since last year. And again, as you mentioned, boys' clothes up 7%, girls' clothes only up 2%. And I mean, even haircuts. We looked at haircuts just because we figured, you know, your children want to look, you know, very cool to start off the new year. Well, haircuts are actually up 6%. And it was pretty surprising because I actually thought that all of the costs to send your children back to college were actually going to be up far more. It's been a while since I've been in elementary school and middle school, so I just must have forgotten how expensive that back to school shopping can be.
But surprisingly, some of the biggest price jumps actually existed for children K through 12.
Yeah. Haircuts, I see the latest price is $48. My mother would line the three boys up, me and my two brothers, literally stick a bowl on top of our head and get the clippers out and cut that. $48 for a kid's haircut? That's a lot of money.
I mean, you can't talk to me, John. I'm an adult woman now, and I spend a lot more than that on a haircut. So
yes.
If I can get a haircut for $48, I actually think it's a steal. But that is correct. I mean, all the kids these days, I guess, want the coolest haircut, and they're willing to spend a pretty penny. But keep in mind, especially if you were someone who's a hairstylist and a hairdresser, this was an industry that was incredibly impacted throughout the pandemic. One, it forced a lot of folks in that industry, frankly, to quit or leave their jobs and get something else just out of sheer necessity for an income. And for those that stayed, you know, they have to now charge higher prices, really, to be able to earn a living and kind of make back some of that money that they lost throughout the pandemic. So
they work hard, no doubt
all the
about
service
it. Yeah,
folks.
Yeah, I'm not
be
trying.
Kind and tip if you can.
Yeah, tip if you can, for sure. You mentioned back to school. I guess I was surprised, too, that the actual cost of tuition, I know that's just been such a laser focus for people. I don't know if colleges are getting a little wise to not trying to raise tuition too much, but that saw, I mean, compared to inflation, you're actually doing better on college tuition this year.
Yes, compared to inflation this year, it is only up about 2%. And housing actually is also up only 2%. And so, you know, just sending your children off to school is actually not going to cost too much more this year than it is last year. But again, take that with a grain of salt. That is compared to the inflation rate, which is 9.1% as of last month. But school tuition costs have absolutely skyrocketed, well over 100% since many years ago. So school tuitions for university and for college students have just been astronomically high. And again, I think that's probably the reason we haven't seen such a major increase in the price this year, because it's already sky high.
Yeah, for sure. Kristen, I even sent you another article I wanted to talk about that you wrote about, but we're out of time. So I just want to let people know, because I get a lot of texts about this. I'm retired and my accounts are losing money. What do I do? It's on the homepage right now at thebalance.com. Kristen has some great tips, and maybe we'll touch on that again next week when we chat again, okay?
Absolutely, no problem.
Always great to chat with you. By the way, before I let you go, you mentioned gas cards as a gift. I got one once from my uncle when I was 12 years old, and I never knew. He was way ahead of his time, as it turned out. But I was like, 12 years old, you get a gas card? But hey, I bought a big old bag of Cheetos with that thing, and I was happy. Okay, Kristen, enough about me. Good to chat with you, okay?
Good to talk to you, John.
TheBalance.com. I love that site. Let's take a break. Then more Your Money Matters up after this. 773 says, the day I would pay that much, and that was $48, for a haircut for my kids, all caps, or even myself, just put me to sleep permanently. Parents cannot let the tail wag the dog. So I want to know now, 312-981-7200, what's the most you'd ever consider paying for a haircut for your kid? I know it's probably different boy or girl, right? I assume it's still different. What's the most you would ever pay to give a haircut to one of your kids or one of your grandkids? I'll ask the panel after the news as well. Here on Your Money Matters on WGN. What's the most you would pay for a kid's haircut? We'll go around the panel here. Lauren Lapka. I don't know. How much does a girl's haircut cost when you're young?
When you're young? I feel like I remember it being closer to $20. But again, you know. Usually it's all about the length, right? Or
okay,
if you're getting color. So
$20?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would pay if I had a kid.
Okay, yeah. All right, this is the average one's $48 for a kid. Kevin Powell, what's your number?
Probably up $48.
What?
You'd pay $48 for a little boy's haircut?
$48. I'd figure they would be about $15-$20.
Yeah, I just do the clippers myself. Mary Vandeveld,
a boy or a girl?
Let's say boy first.
Oh, I don't know. 15.
Okay, how about a girl?
30.
Okay, right, but not near 48.
No.
I don't know where they're doing these haircuts, but good for them. And I'm not trying to disparage hardworking people that work in salons and these haircut places. They work hard. They deserve money. I'm not trying to say that, but 48 just kind of stuck out to me. Maybe I'm just caught in the past. Anyways, 312-981-7200. What's the most you'd ever pay?
How much do you pay, John, for your haircut?
I don't want to tell you. But no, it is like 55, I will say. But I'm an adult, and it comes with a free cleanup and stuff, like 2 weeks later. So I kind of feel like it's two for the price of one.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I paid for a haircut because that's the first thing to go when I'm saving money.
There you go.
I'm not kidding.
So then as your hair gets longer, that's how we know that you're, you're in some financial straits.
Yeah, it's darker. Yeah. Apparently, I'm starting to get gray hairs. I'm learning that the hard way.
That's when we get a collection going for Lauren when it gets down to the belt.
What about me? I already got them.
All right, I got to move on, guys. Thank you so much for chiming in on that. Juliana Kaplan joins us. She's the labor and inequality reporter at Insider. Juliana, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about haircuts with you unless you have a thought on that. But I'm surprised that a third of Gen Z says they're living at home and they're not planning on leaving. Talk us through this survey.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously this comes from one survey that was conducted by Credit Karma where they were asking Gen Zers, so 18 to 25-year-olds, I'm the oldest of Gen Z, or geriatric Gen Z, as we call it. And yeah, I believe about 1,000 Gen Zers they surveyed in their sample size, nearly a third, so 29%, said that they were living at home and they saw it as a long-term housing solution.
And what do they say long-term? What does that mean? Or is that up to each respondent?
Yeah, I think that's one of those questions where it's probably up to your own interpretation, but I think you can safely say not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right. And I don't disparage anyone that lived at home. I moved in with my parents at the age of 26, coming home from working in Washington, D.C. for a year, and I was changing careers, and I ended up getting a job here at WGN doing traffic reporting, and I got to meet the great Mary Vandeveld. And I was living at home so I could say yes to every shift and kind of do whatever I could, and I didn't get a second job. And it was a smart decision. And I imagine, you know, you talk about, you know, the recession coming really quickly during the pandemic and now inflation. I mean, it can be a smart financial move for young adults.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a confluence of a few things. Like, rents are super high right now. Gen Zers are probably not mostly homeowners. I mean, obviously some are. But of the people who were surveyed who said that they're renting or they own property, they're putting about half of their paycheck towards rent or their mortgage. And that's a lot of money. Everything else is really expensive. And also consider the rise of remote work and the fact that the majority of Gen Z, if they were in college, got sent home early. So they may have ended up home already in a situation they didn't really expect. And that's become sort of a formative part of their adulthood so far.
How does this compare to other generations and their, obviously a boomer's not moving home, but I mean, like, did millennials move home with this frequency as well when they were this age and it's just something that you grow out of throughout your 20s? Do we have any comparative analysis?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if there's like I can't think of a direct one-to-one off the top of my head. I'm sure there is one, but I don't know of the exact numbers. But what I will say is that millennials have, during this time, also been increasingly moving home more. Oh. So not at the same clip as Gen Z, but we're seeing a lot more multi-generational households than we have been over the past couple of decades.
You mentioned the cost of rent or mortgage eating up half of people's income, which is well above what most people advise for that. And that's not going to get any better, right? Because rent prices are skyrocketing.
Yeah, so rent is, I think anyone can attest to, really, really high. I mean, I'm sitting here calling in from New York, so I can tell you that is very high. And yeah, we saw strong rent price growth again last month, and that's part of inflation as well. And it seems like every time rents have hit a new peak, there is another one. But hopefully things will cool off a little bit more.
Right, for sure. All right, Juliana, we appreciate you breaking this down for us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right. And by the way, everyone, this subject came up on Let's Get Legal. And after we take a break for weather and traffic, I'm going to play you a piece of audio from a tax guy that we have on the show. And you've heard him here on Your Money Matters. With a fact about kids renting from their parents and should that go on your taxes? And it may actually make you a lot more money or save you a lot of money in taxes. So if your kids are living at home right now, or your grandkids are living at your kid's place, make sure they listen after weather and traffic because the advice was crazy. Okay, we were talking about the price of haircuts. Let's really quickly get Ron on the line. Ron, I believe you're a barber, my friend. How are you doing?
Yes, I am, John. I'm located at 105 West Madison Hairstyling.
Hey, there
and
you go.
Yeah, the price of a young person's haircut, I think it's equitable price would be like $20.
Okay, so I mean, 48 seems like a lot to you.
Oh hell yeah! I mean, you're paying for you're paying for location.
Yeah,
you're paying for location and the name of the place. If you would go to Macy's or some place like that or Rush Street, you're gonna pay $40 or $48 or $50 for a haircut. Mm-hmm. It's you're paying for the rent, you're paying for the name, and I mean, somebody like you, even you would be $25, $30.
Whoa, really? I have good hair though. I got a little coif in the front. I got a couple colleagues you're gonna have to deal with. You sure you want to stick to that price? I'm a good tipper, Ron.
Sure.
I'll come on by.
No. I mean, it's the economic times. Yeah. I mean, I work for a young lady, and she's a nice and equitable and honest person. And that's a decent price. I don't care how many colleagues you have. I'd probably even maybe give you a senior citizen discount.
Wow. Well, that's the end of our conversation, Ron. Thank you very much, my friend. Thanks for calling. Have a good one.
All right.
That's good. All right, let me get the question of the day in because I want people to call, and then I'm going to play some audio for you. So here is the question of the day, which rolled over from last week, and it's about the cities that have seen more and more million-dollar homes. So there's a list of top 10 cities in America that sees a growth in million-dollar homes. Only two of those cities are east of the Mississippi River. Boston is one of them, and what is the other one? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you can guess that, I'll get you a WGN Radio T-shirt. And don't be mad if Iridian tells you that's already been guessed and that's not the right answer, because we don't need to go through those again. So Boston and what other city east of the Mississippi River make up the part of the top 10 of new million-dollar homes over the past couple years? Kind of a complicated question, but you'll get there. Okay. As for living at home,
are we getting to a record here for the number of days the question has lasted?
We've gone a week, so we're about there, because it started last Wednesday. We'll see if we can get an answer. 312-981-7200. The 847 chimed in 1979. My dad said, as you know, we're selling our house and we don't plan on taking you with us. I was 19 years old. Well, don't be so fast to judge kids living at home, because there may be a benefit for you as the taxpayer. And you're saying, what if I charge my kid rent, or don't I have to pay income tax? Anyways, this subject came up on Let's Get Legal this past weekend with David Melanick from Katz Melanick. Can we go ahead and play that audio of that conversation?
630 wants to know, if my daughter moves in with us and I charge her rent, is that taxable income?
Technically, yes. However, you've now created your house is now a rental property, at least a portion of it. So now we can assess how much of your home is a rental property. We can take things like your mortgage interest, your property taxes, the value of your home in depreciation.
Just for renting part of it out to your kids?
Yep, that's correct. You can actually turn that into a tax loss and a huge tax benefit for you and your family.
Think of how many people out there do, maybe their kids are back from school and they're like, well, you can live here, but we want to make you pay some rent here just to have some ownership of this situation. Okay, and then they're afraid to talk to their CPA about it because they don't want it as taxable income. Turns out they might be leaving money on the table.
Absolutely. There's $1 billion a year left on the table by taxpayers. How much of that is yours?
Ooh, I liked that line. That was David Melanick from Katz Melanick. If you're interested in that, 708-914-8220. 708-914-8220. Yeah. Charge your kids a little rent. First of all, that's a good lesson to them. And second of all, now it's a rental property where you can claim things for deductions. And it's all legal. I just thought that was really interesting. I wanted to play that for you. All right. What's the second city east of the Mississippi River that is in the top 10? Iridian, I'm trying to get line number two here. If you can put that in blue so I can click on Jim really quickly here. Derek guessed Chicago. That's already been guessed. Iridian, I'm trying to get Jim on the line. I don't know if we can do that. All right, here we go. Jim, what's your guess, my friend?
My guess is Asheville, North Carolina.
It's a great guess. Just not the answer to the question of the day. But
I guess it wasn't so great.
Well, let me tell you this. I think you're the closest geographically that anyone has been yet. Other guesses were Miami, Chicago, D.C., Alexandria. It's nowhere in New Jersey. It's not New York City. You're getting close, Jim. Warm, but not quite hot enough. Let's take a break and see if we can get an answer after this. 90 seconds till news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Which city, besides Boston, east of the Mississippi River, is in the top 10 of cities in the United States that have seen a large increase in the number of million-dollar homes there? All right, I said Asheville was close. Let's go to George. Hey, George, how you doing?
Hi, John. Doing well.
Great. What's your guess?
My guess is Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good guess. I think we're getting closer, but we're just not there yet. I'm sorry, George. Let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Getting off work, so I'm happy.
Amen to that. Good for you. What's your guess?
Atlanta, Georgia.
It's not Atlanta, Georgia. That's a great guess, though. I'm sorry, okay. Jim. Yeah, there we go. Let's go to John. Hey, John, you're on WGN.
Yes.
What's your guess?
Bethesda, Maryland.
Bethesda, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. I believe the Naval Hospital is in Bethesda, right? I think that's where the president goes, where his private doctors are. It's a great guess, and I knew a lot about Bethesda for some reason. It's just not the answer to the question of the day. I'm sorry, John. Are we gonna roll over again? David, you seem eager to jump in. You're not eligible for a prize.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, you had a big hint already.
I've had a couple.
Yeah.
We'll get it tomorrow. Let's hope for that.